If you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive an inheritance, and he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10.
Let's sing this song to help us get our minds thinking in the same direction, all of us thinking the same thing at the same time. Think we can pull that off? All right. Here we are, but straying pilgrims here. Our path is often dim. But to cheer us on our journey, still we sing this wayside hymn. Yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our feet are often weary on the hills that throng our way. Here the tempest darkly gathers, but our hearts within us say, yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Here our souls are often fearful of the pilgrim's lurking foe, but the Lord is our defender, and he tells us we may know. Yonder over the rolling river where the shining mansions rise, soon will be our home forever, and the smile of the blessed giver gladdens all our longing eyes. Thank you. This song goes all the way back to 1853. The words were penned by a man by the name of Isaac Carman. It was set to music by a man named William Perkins. This song is a very encouraging song for us to sing. This song encourages us to look ahead, to look forward. In other words, to look over the rolling river, as the song suggests, where the shining mansions rise. You know, it suggests to us as we sing this song that we are indeed pilgrims on earth. You know, this world was never intended to be our permanent home, but rather our permanent home is intended to be in heaven. We are in a temporary place as pilgrims as we go through this life together. You know, this being the week of Thanksgiving, our thoughts will be on the pilgrims. And we all know the story of the pilgrims who came to America from England in the year 1620. And no doubt our thoughts will be upon them as they entered the Mayflower, which we see a picture here. Actually, this is a replica of the Mayflower that you can actually go on and see in Boston Harbor. And if you've never seen it, I haven't either. It's on my bucket list to see someday the replica of the Mayflower. But no doubt we'll think about that journey and the struggles that they had as they came to America as pilgrims. 106 passengers cramped in a very small vessel with a living space of only about 58 feet by 24 feet with a height and a ceiling of 5 feet. That's where 106 people lived during this travel, this journey to America. Now, this space is smaller than the average single-family home that is built in America today of 1,400 square feet. So if you can imagine 106 people in your home, and your house may be a lot bigger than 1,400 square feet, it would have been a cramped place to be. They were late getting started in the year. Their supply ship had to turn around and go back because it sprung a leak. The weather was cold. They were short of food. They were short of water. On the way, they were beaten and battered by a tremendous storm that almost destroyed the ship. When they arrived in Plymouth on November the 21st, 1620, winter was beginning to set in. The pilgrims actually stayed on board the ship during that first winter because the snow was already on the ground. They could not build shelters for themselves. They could not grow food. And during the winter time, a sickness set in and half of the 106 pilgrims died that first winter in Plymouth. They did not actually set foot on land until December or mid-December of that year. Now, had it not been for the Wampanoag Indian tribe to help the pilgrims with their food and with their supplies, none of them would have been able to survive that first brittle, bitter winter in Plymouth, Massachusetts. You know, I think we can safely say that the American pilgrims were indeed straying pilgrims. Because if you check the history books, they didn't go there first. They went somewhere else and began to look up and down the seaboard for their Virginia landing, which was what they were looking for. And they never found Virginia. They landed, of course, in Boston. They came to America looking for a better life than the one that they had in England. Now, what I would like for us to talk about today is to discuss the fact that we too are straying pilgrims. We, like the pilgrims of old, have been told of a better land. We have been told of a place where all is good. We have been told of a place of perfection, a far better place than where we are now. And every one of us in this room this morning today are here because we are searching for that place. We are looking forward to the opportunity to be able to set foot upon this place, whose street is made of gold, whose gates are made of pearl and walls are made of jasper. This beautiful place called heaven. And every one of us want to be there. This is where our permanent home is. This is where God intended for us to be. So what I want to do today is let's talk a little bit about our pilgrimage here and how we strive so hard to get to the permanent home that we want to have for ours someday. First of all, let's just ask the question, what is a pilgrim? Generally thinking, a pilgrim, of course, is one who journeys in a foreign land. He is in a place that is not his home. Now, the word pilgrim is a Bible term. In fact, it comes from the Greek word parapodemos, Strong's number 3927. And the definition is, it is a sojourner or a foreigner, literally someone who is passing through. Someone who may have a relationship with people in the place that they are, but it is not their place of dwelling. It is a temporary place where a relationship is necessary because of circumstances of where they are. Actually, this Greek word is broken down from two other Greek words, para and erkomai, which is translated residing in a strange place among unfamiliar people. So that's what we define the word pilgrim as. We are not where we want to be. We are not where we need to be. This is not our permanent place of dwelling. So we understand that, don't we? We understand that we, like the American pilgrims and like our song we just sang suggests, we all are straying pilgrims. You know, the word pilgrim was not used in the Old Testament. In fact, the word sojourner and stranger was the actual words that were used in the Old Testament, which comes from the Hebrew word toshab. Toshab, which simply means living temporarily in a place where one does not belong. Now, have you ever thought of yourself as living in a place where you don't belong? I think we may have all been there at one time or another. I have to tell you, 24 years ago when we moved here, I felt like I was in a place that I did not belong. And now, you'll have to point a gun at me to get me to leave. This place will grow on you. It really will. This community, these people are wonderful. You people are wonderful. But we were pilgrims when we first came here. This is not where I intended to be. So we can understand that. You know, Abraham and his family were labeled as strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. We also find Peter making reference to the sojourner, the foreigner, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11. He said, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against the soul." Different Bible versions uses different words to describe the word pilgrim that we read of in New King James particularly. But they all come from the same two words that I have described to you, the Greek and the Hebrew word. So we know what a pilgrim is. It is somewhere where they didn't intend to be. It is somewhere that is not a permanent resident for them. They are simply searching for that place of permanency. Now, let's talk about for just a moment our life as a pilgrim. How is my life a pilgrimage? Now, and we may never think about ourselves as being pilgrims or being on a pilgrimage of life, because our lives on earth are brief. They are temporary. In fact, Solomon tells us in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 1, he said, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." Do you know what this is actually telling us? We may not have a tomorrow. We being together in this capacity today with this group, we may never do this again as the way we are today. Because life may end for someone in this room before the next time we meet. This is something that we do not know. This is something that it is impossible for us to know. You know, James sort of tells us the same thing in a little different way. In James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that." Now, what James is literally telling us here is that we're going to go through our everyday life just as we did yesterday and the day before and the day before that. All of us in this room have plans tomorrow as to where we are going to be and what we are going to do. Because we are a planning people, we keep a schedule for ourselves as we go through life. But you know, sometimes those schedules can be interrupted, can't they? Sometimes things happen in life that we're not expecting. Things that disrupts our routine. Things that causes us to have to make changes in our lives to adapt because a certain thing has happened. And we have all been through that. So we understand that part, don't we? And then on top of all of that, we're pilgrims. And we're not where we're destined to be to begin with. You know, Christians are foremost and primarily citizens of heaven, not citizens of earth. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed into his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." You know, our body is just simply an earthly tent. Peter knew this, and we talked about that this morning in Bible class, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14. Peter said, "Look, I know that I'm about to leave my tent." Verse 14 says, "Knowing that I shortly must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me." And we remember that passage when Jesus told Peter, "You know, right now you walk about and go where you will, but the day will come when someone will grab you and gird you and put you where you don't want to be." So we understand that, don't we? Peter knew that. My tent is temporary. My life is temporary. And I know that. Paul, though, tells us something that is somewhat encouraging, knowing that we're living in a tent. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul said, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." God has a place for us that is not temporary. He has a place for us that is permanent. It is his home, his place, and we have been invited to be there with him. Jesus described this as a place of many mansions. In John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Some translations say rooms. Whatever is in heaven. "If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare this place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And there, my friends, is where the pilgrim needs to be. And when we get to that place, we will no longer be pilgrims, because we will have found our permanent destination. So now we know we are temporarily here. Our permanent abode is waiting on us. Now, what does it mean to be a pilgrim? Does it mean that we're going to have to live like those folks lived back in 1620? And because they had a hard time. They had a very difficult time. We must first of all decide among ourselves that yes, we are strangers. Yes, we are foreigners on this earth. Jesus, in his prayer for his disciples, prayed these words in John 17, beginning with verse 14. He said, "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Now, do you know what Jesus is actually saying here? He is telling you and me today, this is where you have to be. You are here. You are in this world, this old, low-down, sorry, filthy, dirty place. This is your abode, like it or not. You're here. This is where you have to be. But then he says this: you don't have to be like these people. Yeah, you have to be here. You have to live here. But you don't have to act like them. You can live your life according to your godliness and live according to the way the Lord would have you to live. Even though you're in this dirty, filthy, rotten place, you don't have to be like them. So I'm not going to pray that God take you out. I'm going to pray that God help you live it. He will help you live here. He will help you stay clean. He will help you abide in this temporary place until those mansions are ready for you someday. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Even though we have to be here, we don't have to be of this place. Being a pilgrim also means that we pass our time here in fear. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Peter says, "And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout your time of your stay here in fear." In other words, understand what God is expecting of you as you live here on this filthy earth. God expects you not to be of the world, even though you have to be in the world. God expects you to live a godly life, even though you're living in an ungodly world. God expects for you to behave yourself as a child of God, even though you're living in a place where children are the devil. Now, I know that's one of those things that's easier said than done. But this is what God is expecting of us. And at the same time, we need to understand that this is a brief thing that we're going through. Paul, Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12. "And do this, knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand." How many of you got up this morning and thought to yourself, "Judgment day is one day closer than it was yesterday"? Did anybody have that thought this morning? Did anybody have the thought when they woke up this morning that I am one day closer to my death than I was when I woke up yesterday morning? Both of those things are absolutely 100% true. Like it or not. Because that's life. And that's how life works. Therefore, Paul said, wake up. Awake from your sleep. Be prepared. Be ready. That day is coming. And you can be ready for it. How do you be ready? Get out of the world. Don't be of the world. But be godly. And then Paul tells us, at the same time, we need to keep our eyes on heaven. He tells us this in Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." We know that Christ is there, right? "Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth, for you died." In other words, you died to those things. You died to this earth when you put on Christ. "And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory." What a wonderful thought. To know that someday we will be with our Lord and Savior and we will not be pilgrims any longer. We're not going to have to look for a better place. We're not going to have to worry about the place that we are in right now and how much worse it's going to get. Because I've noticed over the, my memory doesn't go back 67 years, but my life goes back that far. As far back as I can remember, life in general has never gotten better. Oh, we've gotten smarter. We have gone from horses to cars. We've gone from black and white to color TV. I was telling Pat the other day, the very first time I ever witnessed a color television, we went to visit some friends, and there was a NASCAR race on TV, and I got to watch it in color. And I was absolutely amazed. I was about 6, 7 years old, maybe. That was my first experience with a color TV. Now you can't find a black and white TV, can you? You nearly can't make your own TV go black and white, can you? Yeah. and kids, we had to get up and flip a button to change the channels. And I was the channel clicker, let me tell you. I was the remote control at our house. Farron, get over there and turn channel 4. Hey, no, I don't want to wait there. Go back to 3. And I'm up and down. I'm changing channels. I was also the volume control. Yeah, y'all never had to do that, have you? No. No. I'm not saying that things haven't gotten better. I'm saying corruption has gotten worse during my time here. And I believe every one of us could say the very same thing. We are more corrupt today than we were on April the 14th, 1958, when I was born. Things have gotten worse. I'm a pilgrim here, folks. I don't want to be a part of that. I'm waiting for that day. I'm looking for my mansion. Maybe it'll have color TV. I don't know. But we're looking for that. As I said earlier, the pilgrims came to America in 1620, and they were looking for something better than what they had. And I think that we are all here today for the very same reason. And again, I'm not trying to say that we don't enjoy the life we have here on this earth. I do hope that we all live a good life. And I think that for the most part, we all do. We all have what is convenient at our fingertips. And you can lose that in an instant, let me tell you. We got up Friday morning. We didn't have hot water in our house. So we had to call the man, and the man came and fixed our water heater. A couple hours later, but we can burn up now. Yeah. But that was inconvenient for a while, you know. I don't like to take cold showers, at least not in November. But I'm not saying that we don't have a good life here. We have a good life here. But when you compare it to what is coming, to that home that is going to be ours someday forever, well, you really can't compare it. And then on top of that, Peter tells us something else. He tells us that we may have to actually suffer a little bit before we reach this. We may have to go through some inconvenient things in our life. Peter says, but may the God of all grace, who called us into his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have suffered a while, he will perfect you, he will strengthen you, and he will settle you. Now, let me tell you what that word settling means. That doesn't mean he's going to calm you down. When you are settled, you will be in that mansion in the clouds, in the sky, with the Lord in heaven. That's what settling is. At least that's what Peter's talking about here. You will be settled because you will be with God in heaven. That's settling. And that means we won't be searching anymore. We won't be looking for anything anymore. We will find ourselves in the presence of our God. But here we are but straying pilgrims. And here our path is often dim. Sometimes we need to understand this is not really our home. Our home here is filled with difficulties, troubles, trials, tribulations. We want something better. God wants us to have something better. And yonder over the rolling river, that's the better place. Because that's where the shining mansions rise. It will be there that we will find that mansion that Jesus is building for us right now. And he will come and get us, and he will take us there. And that will be our home forever. It'll be the place where the tabernacle of God is with men. And He will dwell with us. And we shall be His people. And God Himself will be with us and be our God. It will be the place where God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither will there be any more pain. For all of the things of this old place will have passed away. And this will gladden our longing eyes. Because this is what we've been waiting for. This is what we've been searching for. And we can have it. And we will no longer be pilgrims. So my friends, today, if you are not a Christian, give your life to the Lord. Come in faith. Change your life by repenting of your sins. Confess Jesus as God's Son. Be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. And you will be able to end your pilgrimage because of it. And you can have that heavenly home. And today, if you are a Christian and you find that you have turned back to this old dirty, filthy world, remember this. The world is the place of pilgrimage. It's the place of trials, toils, tribulation, trouble. It is a temporary place. It was never intended for you. And you can still have that heavenly home if you'll walk away from the old one and give your life back to God. We're all pilgrims, but we're all destined for heaven. Be sure that heaven is your home. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song.